του SEDEFOP Skill Set and Match podcast. I'm Panos Polyzoides. The European Year of Skills is getting near its conclusion, and probably all aspects of skills development, skills matching, and deployment in relation to national and European Union policies have been given due attention. One of the most salient of those aspects concerns micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises, MSMEs, and the trouble they face when trying to recruit the skills they need to remain competitive and grow. There is a number of issues linked to the subject, most prominent, whether MSMEs are threatened by a skills shortage or it is their inbuilt limitations that prevent their access to skills, and how governments and the EU could help them ameliorate this situation. Trying to make sense of these questions, I first turned to a researcher, SEDEFOP's Giovanni Russo, who is an expert on the subject. I asked him about the true nature of skills shortages faced by MSMEs.
I think what the research shows and survey evidence shows is that actually organizations report difficulties in finding the skills they need. I think these difficulties are real, but I think also that they be better characterized as recruitment problems rather than shortages, skill shortages. For example, you know, during the discussion at European Social Forum, the cause of the shortages was been on unattractive jobs. So this is observation is consistent with a view that put a problem inside companies in the recruitment process rather than with a skill shortage narrative.
What is an unattractive job, if I may ask, Giovanni?
An unattractive job usually is a poor working condition, low pay, not particularly interesting jobs, repetitive actions, tasks, lack of purpose in the job. You know, if you take a job and you split it up in small tasks and workers, you know, lose sight of the overall contribution to the organization, the job lose meaning. And so these are all the facets of what an unattractive job could be.
Are you suggesting then that in a way, when we use the term skill shortages in this particular context, it may be misleading?
I think it is a misnomer. Yes, it is a misnomer because the name we give a phenomenon puts also, let's say, the seed of the cure. And so if we call it shortages, we put the pressure and we direct resources to the supply side to redress it. But if we actually call it a recruitment problem, then we know that the issue is inside the companies. So we've been putting resources in the wrong place.
So it's all down to recruitment, you're saying?
I think recruitment is where the problem shows. Recruitment is difficult. We have to start from this point of view. It has always been, will always be. A recent summary of 100 years of research done in the Journal of Applied Psychology, which is really one of the outlets, an important outlets for this type of research, ended up calling recruitment as the supreme problem. Just to say that is, I mean, over the past 100 years, it has been a problem, you know.
Mathilde Grégu is policy advisor at SME United, the pan-European organization that represents MSMEs. A view on the issue is quite different.
For us, like, there are skills shortages. The main issues, and I will come back on this later, is that less people are attracting towards vet pathways, so they do not develop the skills that are suited for this kind of pathway. So for us, there are skills shortages on the labor market, as almost three quarters of SMEs face difficulties to recruit the adequate profile to fill their vacancies.
How are SMEs coping with those skills shortages? How do they keep going on with their business despite them?
The main word is flexibility. It's a key word to define the activity of SMEs. Entrepreneurs have to handle and manage everything at the same time in their companies, from the activity itself to human resources matter or even cash flows issues. So skill shortages, they are not new, but it is getting steadily worse in the recent years. Its effect is to hinder the optimal development of SMEs that have the potential to do so. When you are asking me how SMEs are coping, well, entrepreneurs are working more to compensate from this lack of manpower, at the expense of its own personal life, but also SMEs are constantly adapting their offers, and sometimes they have to reduce this offer of products if they lack the skills to produce it, for example. And yeah, finally, maybe I could mention the restaurant sector, because, for example, they are closing even strategic time slots during the weekend due to a lack of cookers, for example. So it represents an extremely significant loss of incomes, which could even threaten the company's viability.
I asked Annemiek Voortman, head of department of the Dutch Ministry of Labour and the Netherlands National Skills Coordinator, to comment on the view that in many cases, skill shortages are not genuine and that the problem actually lies on the demand side, that particularly small and medium-sized enterprises do not have the capacity to carry out optimal recruitment and offer quality jobs when it comes to terms and remuneration.
I think that's in general a problem in the labor market in some sectors where the quality of jobs and the remuneration isn't up to speed. For people being initially skilled in those sectors just won't work there because they can find better jobs somewhere else. And this is a big challenge for the skills agenda, I think, because then we could have like a major effort reskilling, upskilling or initial skills for people to start working there. But if the sector doesn't welcome the people and pay them as they should be paid, people will start working somewhere else. That's just how the labor market works. I'm not sure if this challenge is specific for small, medium enterprises only, because there are some small companies that can do this excellently and still find it very hard to invest in skills in the meantime, because they're just busy running their business. And it's hard for them to start investing in this because they're just being busy with what they have to deliver next week. So they're not using a more long-term strategy to invest in the people already working for them or for the new people they recruited. So I'm not sure if it's specific for small business and enterprises. And in the Netherlands, we also experience that they can and are very interested in investing in skills as well.
But basically what you're saying is that when it comes to small businesses, people are busy chasing up invoices and clients and so on, and they don't have the infrastructure for a full recruitment procedure.
Yeah, but recruitment is important. But it's not the only way to acquire skills for your company, because if you look at the people that are already working for you smartly and assess which skills they have, businesses find that they can invest in the people already working for them and having them move along in the way the company is moving and upskilling them. So it's on one hand, recruitment is important, but instead of trying to find scarce talent on the labor market, there are serious gains to be made if SMEs invest in the skills of the people already working for them. So there's a double agenda, I think, they can follow.
So training is the other way besides recruitment by which MSMEs can bring the skills needed into the business. Are they in a position to provide this training sufficiently? Mathilde Cregu from SME United.
Well, they are in a position to provide employee some trainings. They offer that often, but they often face also challenges. There is a war for talent, so we need to find the right way to allow SMEs to provide some very specific trainings to their employees that are tailored for the activity of the company. And it is important, especially in the craft sector. But as you said, SMEs are facing some challenges regarding a lack of resources, because it's not always easy to find time and the staff resources to provide the appropriate training. But these trainings, they are also bringing opportunities, because SMEs are able to offer practical training to young people in apprenticeship and vet pathways, as I mentioned earlier. So this is the way for SMEs to invest in younger generation and in their future staff. But the way forward is that SMEs need incentives to provide trainings to their employees. They need to see a return on the investment, so that there is a general need to strike the balance between the need of the employees in terms of keeping their employability all along their career and the need of employer in terms of skills for their company. So employers, they need this return on the investments they make.
What are the optimal tools whereby to assist MSMEs in the skills-related efforts? Again, Mathilde Crégu.
There are several ways of action. So the general idea is to promote social dialogue at all level, at EU level, national, but also sectoral levels. Social partners have recalled their wish to cooperate during the last Val Duchesse summit on the 31st of January. So this is very important. But then we also have to differentiate the demands that we are making towards the EU institutions and the one towards the member states. So SME United calls on the EU institution to support member states and social partners to implement the various initiatives on skills. So namely the Council recommendation on vocational education and training for sustainable competitiveness, social fairness and resilience, but also micro-credential, individual learning accounts, upskilling pathways, and also the future recommendation Europe on the Move, learning mobility for everyone. And then regarding the member states, SME United has three requests, which is to include elements for entrepreneurship, education and mindset in compulsory education pathway, starting from an early age. This is the first step. Then updating the content of education and training programs, in particular for VET and apprenticeship, to increase youth employment and employability all along professional lives and career. And finally, we need to improve the image of VET, including higher VET and apprenticeship, to contribute increasing the parity of esteem between vocational and academic education.
What does the Dutch government do to support micro, small and medium-sized enterprises in their quest to secure necessary skills? Annemiek Voortman, the Dutch National Skills Coordinator.
We have some experience now creating a financial incentive for MSMEs and to compensate them for the time spent on developing new skills instead of running their business. That's really what we do. We have a subsidy scheme called SLIM, or SMART in English, and companies can apply for this subsidy for four types of activities. First is a company checkup, if you will, a diagnosis of the required knowledge and skills in the company leading to a concrete training plan.
So that's the consulting
part of it. Second is career advice for the workers in the company. So what do people want? Thirdly, they can get a subsidy for the support of the implementation of a learning and development method. So they can actually start the training in their company. Mind you, the education itself, it's not funded. It's only the method. And the last thing we subsidize is practical training places for vocational training.
If there was one area that you could improve the way national governments, the Dutch government, supports MSMEs in bringing in new skills, what would you choose to improve?
Yes, well, we now have 50 million a year to invest, and these small businesses can apply for a subsidy of 25,000 K. And what I would like to improve is to get more money for this scheme, because it's very, very popular and we can't help all the businesses that apply for it. We recently finished an evaluation of the scheme and it simply works.
CEDEFOP expert Giovanni Russo believes it's not only down to government intervention, and it's certainly a marathon run rather than a sprint.
I would say this is more like a social partner issue, I would say. Of course, government can influence the directions and can, put their weight behind these interventions. And of course, if these are important things, I think everybody will follow suit. But I think it is more like a moral suasion approach. I don't see government stepping in the arena right away and directly.
So basically what you're saying is that if I am an SME owner and have a particular hiring challenge, recruitment challenge, it's already too late for someone to come and intervene to help me face that challenge. Things have to be built up long term.
Definitely. I think we don't have to be swayed by the short-term urgency of the problems. In the short run, if you have a problem with finding the right applicants, the only thing you can do is to increase your recruitment efforts and put more money or more, resources on the tasks. But of course, if you want to do it more efficiently, then you need to build the knowledge, to build the capacity to do so, and this requires time. I think these interventions would not be aimed at solving specific issues, but at building the organization's capability to deal with the skills-related challenges by themselves in autonomy, whatever they will rise up in the future.
That was CEDEFOP's Giovanni Russo, who spoke to us for this podcast about micro, small and medium-sized enterprises and their troubles bringing in much-needed skills, a podcast which we prepared alongside the Communications Department of DG EMPL, the European Commission's Directorate General for Employment, Social Affairs and Inclusion. SME United Policy Advisor Mathilde Cregu and Annemiek Wortmann, Head of Department of the Dutch Ministry of Labour and the Netherlands National Skills Coordinator, were also kind enough to participate. We'll be back with more on vocational education and training, skills and qualifications. Until then, you can listen to our podcasts on our website, cedefop.europa.eu, as well as all major podcast platforms, and follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn and Instagram. Goodbye.